Well, amen. Open up your Bibles to Psalm 118, please. That's where we're going to spend our time this evening, Psalm 118. And if you didn't get a pair of notes, but you'd like some, go ahead and raise your hand, and we'll go ahead and bring some by. If you need one, go ahead and raise your hand. We'll look for you if you need some notes. But Psalm 118, and I think I failed to mention as I was doing the prayer bulletin, so as you turn there, I'll say it. But Brother Stan wanted me to say hi to everybody, and that he's thinking about you, and he was so thankful to see folks write notes and call and just the encouragement that he's had through this time of coming up with the surgery and everything. So he knows that he's on our minds. We're praying for him, and he's so grateful and thankful that that's the case. Psalm 118, I think you're there by now. We'll read verse 1 to start off with our text verse, and we'll walk down through a good portion of this as time allows. But Psalm 118, verse 1, it says this. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever." Let's pray. Dear Holy Father, thank you, Lord, for today. We do thank you for allowing us to be here in church this evening. We thank you that you have given us the Bible in our language so that we can have it and read it and we can understand it. And Father, we can apply it to our lives, that we can be what you want us to be. And Father, I do pray that you'd help us today as we think about with the holiday season coming up and we think about Thanksgiving. Father, before we indulge ourselves with turkey and stuffing and gravy, Father, that we would take some time to just think about specific in-depth things that we need to be thankful for, and Lord, how sometimes we, even as Christians, we can forget about. Father, I pray that you'd help us, pray that you would give us what we need. Lord, that you'd speak to my heart and those in the sounding of my voice. I pray that your will would be done. Lord, whatever words you want said, I pray that they would be said. Whatever words you don't want said, I pray that you would erase them from my mind, erase them from my notes. Father, that you would get the glory through everything that is said and done, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The year was 1988, and Jan Grzeszewski, he was a Polish man who was working on the railway. One day, while Jan was working, he was hit by a train. The train accident, he was able to survive, but barely. That year, 1988, was the year that Jan went into a coma, and that was the year, starting that year, 19 years later, until he finally woke up. But during that time of 19 years, Poland had gone through a drastic change. The Polish nation had gone from being a communist nation to being a free nation in the time span that he was in the coma. He awoke from his coma in 2007 to a whole new world. When Jan went into his coma, Poland was that communist state that he remembered. But when he came out of it, the communist party that reigned, the communist party that allowed their nation to have a meat ration, the communist party that allowed their nation to have huge lines at almost every gas station, the communist party that was ruling their country and their nation, that allowed their nation to be in such a drastic situation that there was only tea and vinegar, as Jan remembers, in the grocery stores that were near his town. And so, needless to say, things were not very good. Things were not in a position when he went into that coma he would say, "I want to go and be a part of it." But you see, now in 2007, when he woke up, the nation that he had been free now for about 16 years, it started being a free nation in around 1991. Jan is quoted of saying that when he woke up out of his coma, he saw people on the streets with cell phones, and there were so many goods in the shops now that it made his head spin. Because when he went into the coma, remember, he said that there is only vinegar and a few other things like tea that could be purchased because of the communist oppression. There was one other thing that puzzled Jan, though. The country that for many years had been run by the Communist Party and had little to offer its people, now was free and had many things to offer them. And yet, as he noticed the people were not any happier. He said they seem to be constantly groaning and grumbling about something. A nation that was once oppressed and had very little. Now he wakes up to a nation that is free and has much more than they had 16 years ago or 19 years ago when he went into the coma. And they are a people that has drastically and quickly gone. And I know I'm generalizing this a little bit with the people, and I'm sure they all weren't that way, as you could say about almost any group. They're not all a specific way that you would sometimes generalize. But the point is, he woke up to a nation that was now, even though they had a lot more, even though they had many, many things that they were not afforded before when they were under communist oppression and the communist regime, they are not any happier. They were not any better off necessarily in their spiritual aspect or even their livelihood. And I want us to understand that if we don't get into habit of thanking God for what we do have, then you will soon become ungrateful because of what you don't have. And we know this, and as Christians, I think we would say this, but sometimes we can forget this. Sometimes it's very easy to forget the things that we have afforded to us as God's people. The things that we have afforded to us, not just as God's people, but even as his creation and the people that he loves, that he made in the very beginning. And so tonight I want us to see four reasons from Psalm 118 that we should say, thank you, Lord. That we should say, thank you, Lord. First, I want us to see that we should give thanks for his mercy endureth forever. Look at verse 1. It says here, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them that now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. This word here, this phrase of giving thanks, it's talking about somebody who is lauding or somebody who is shooting or somebody who is casting. And so what it's saying here is that we not only need to have gratitude in our heart and not only have the thankfulness that we have towards God in our heart, but we need to give it out and make sure everybody knows about the thankfulness that we have, but not only that everybody knows it, but God knows. He says, give thanks unto the Lord. Give thanks unto the Creator, Jehovah God of the universe. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. That law, the definition of that, it's talking about that part of divine worship which consists of praise, or to praise in words and singing, or to celebrate. And so what he's saying here is not does he just want us to make it known to the Lord quietly, but he wants us to make it known in celebration that thanks be to God for his mercy endureth forever. When I think about that singing and celebrating, I think about inner city churches. I don't know if I've seen them on TV, and I've never been to one, but you see them, and again, it's probably a generalization, but you see, you know, them on TV, and they're dancing, and they're singing, and I'm not saying we should do it here, but what I am saying is they are not afraid to praise and thank the Lord with their laud, with their celebration, with their wanting to let everybody know how thankful they are to God. Now, yes, it can get off, and it can be praise of men, but with doing it with the right heart, God isn't necessarily saying he wants us to act that way, but he wants us to have that manner of our life to say, God, I am so thankful for you. I'm going to let you know about it. I'm going to laud your thanksgiving. I'm going to shoot or cast out from myself your thanksgiving, the thanksgiving that I have in my heart for you. Psalm 106, verse 1, it says, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So let's look at that first. He is good. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, Psalm 118, for he is good. He's making a statement. He's saying that the Lord is good, no matter what. And we're going to see here that he's going to talk about times where he's in distress. He's going to talk about times, the psalmist here is going to talk about times where he's oppressed and where things are happening in his life that are not good things. But he can still say, the Lord is good. No matter what is happening in my life, God is still good. No matter what is coming into my my circumstances, God is still good. We can see that he is making this declaration that God is good. We are not to thank him, talking about God, because he does good things to me, but because he is good. Good and upright. Psalm 25, verse 8, it says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Psalm 33, verse 5, it says, he loveth the righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Matthew 19, verses 16 and 17, it says this. It says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. God is good all the time. It is something that we just need to understand, that God, no matter what, is good. And how can we understand that? Well, we can understand that because gratitude starts from a heart that understands that we deserve nothing from God. Gratitude comes from a heart that understands that I deserve nothing. Everything I have is because God is good, and because of the second thing that he says, his mercy endureth forever. It says here, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. We see here the psalmist gives thanks. He says, oh, give thanks. But then we see in verse 2, he says, let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Then he goes on to say, the house of Aaron, or the priests, to give thanks and say that his mercy endureth forever. And then finally, he includes of everybody that fears the Lord in verse 4, let them now that fear the Lord say, his mercy endureth forever. My point with this is to say that it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you've come from, it doesn't matter what station of life you are in, God's mercy is for everybody, because every single one of us needs it. And every single one of us then should praise him for it. Why do we all need it? Well, we all need it because we're all sinners. We all come short of a holy God. We all come short of what God's standard is. The law of God, the Bible tells us, is our schoolmaster, showing us what we need to measure up to, and we cannot. Obviously, we fall short, as the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we fall short of that. And so anything that comes short of the glory of God, anything that comes short of God's perfectness, anything that comes short of where God's standard is somebody that needs God's mercy. Because God's mercy is God withholding from us what we rightfully deserve. I know I said earlier that we deserve nothing from God, but the only thing that we do deserve from God is to pay for our sin. Other than that, we deserve nothing from the Lord. I didn't deserve to wake up this morning. I didn't deserve to have the family that God has given me. I didn't deserve to have the children that God has given me. I don't deserve to be able to preach his word or do anything, even have the food that he has provided for me. We need to understand that his mercy endureth forever, even when we go far from him, even when we go to idols, and even when we go and we forget to thank him for the food, even when we take time and maybe we, in our haste, don't forget to thank him, but we thank him out of habitual ritual by doing it day after day. We get into this situation where we just say it because that's what we say, and we don't think about it. As Brother Nathan was saying, maybe it was a Sunday evening, where we can get into this normal habit of, this is just what I do, where he made certain turns because that's what he did when he left the church, and that's what he did when he had this situation arise. Sometimes we can get in the habit of saying, the plate of food is on my table, so now I give thanks to the Lord, and I say my prayer, and I didn't even have it with a heart of thanksgiving. You know what? His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. His withholding from us what we rightfully deserve in his goodness endures forever. You see, the showing of God's mercy is a great part of his goodness. If God's people will not laud his mercy and goodness with thanksgiving, then who will? If we're not going to laud and to celebrate the goodness and the mercy of God, then who will? He says here, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever." Verse 2, "Let now Israel," God's people, we're not Israel, but we are God's children, "let them now say," let God's children now say, "that his mercy endureth forever. Let those of the house of Aaron," we're not of the house of Aaron, but we are a believer priest. If we've trusted Christ as our Savior, we are now a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a people that can come before God with our prayers and with our requests. And he says that his mercy endureth forever for them. And we need to declare that his mercy endureth forever. Verse 4, "Let them now that fear the Lord," that revere the Lord, that have a reverence for the Lord, "say that his mercy endureth forever," because every single person has experienced God's mercy at one point or another in their life. And we all could say, "God, thank you. I am praising you. I am celebrating you. I am saying, God, thank you for your mercy that I do not deserve." First, we see that we should give thanks because his mercy endureth forever. Secondly, give thanks that God will answer your prayers. Give thanks that God is going to answer your prayers, that he wants to. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I will make the statement. We understand there are conditions to answered prayer, like being right with God, okay, and praying according to his will. I think hopefully most of us in here can understand that, so I'm not going to spend time on that, but my point is that he will answer your prayer if you come to him through his will, and you come to him through the name of Christ. You come to him with a clean heart towards the Lord as much as you possibly know, but he says here in verse 5, look at it with me. He says, "I called upon the Lord in distress." What did the Lord do? The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations can pass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They can pass me about, yea, they can pass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They can pass me about like bees, they are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. We'll come back to that last verse, but my point here is understanding that God wants to answer your prayer, but we should give thanks to him because of answered prayer. We see that he went to the Lord, and the Lord heard him, and the Lord answered his prayer when he was in distress. Psalm 120, verse 1, it says something very similar. It says, "In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." Call upon him and pray unto him, and he says he will hearken unto you, Jeremiah 29:12. We see in Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." I want us to see here that the person who calls upon the Lord when not in distress will find it natural to call upon the Lord in distress. You know, pastors preached about it before, but we ought not wait until the decision is to be made to make the decision. We ought to know what we're going to do before a decision comes. And the only way you can do that is to pray to the Lord, get into his word, and do right. If we're going to call upon the Lord in distress and in hard times and not try and fix it ourselves or find somebody else. As he says, I don't need to put confidence in man. I don't need to put confidence in princes. I can put confidence in the Lord. But that's because he's somebody who already found out the Lord was trustworthy. He's one who already put his confidence in the Lord. And now when he's in distress, he puts his confidence in the Lord because he knows the Lord's going to answer him. He knows the Lord is going to hear his prayer. He knows the Lord is going to come to him and say, yes, son, I inquired of your request. I listened and I put my ear down to entreat you and to listen to you and to hear you. And now I'm going to answer your request. I'm not saying name it and claim it, but I am saying if you pray to the Lord with a clean heart and you pray to the Lord with an understanding that it's according to his will and you pray in the name of Christ, we can know that God will answer our requests. God will answer our prayers. But I want us to see here that he prays in verse 5. I called unto the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. We don't see the divine help or the divine answer to his prayer until he prayed. God had an answer ready for him. God had help ready for him. But the psalmist prayed, and then God answered, and he gave him help. Sometimes we can get into the struggle and we can get into a fight and we can get into distress and we can say, I'm going to try it on my own. I'm going to do it on my own. And we say, well, why didn't God help me? Well, did we go to him? Did we go to him or did we try to do it on our own? A lot of times I will say it'll probably be going back to number one where we get into it, we try it on our own, we realize we need God. And then in God's mercy, he comes and he helps us after we pray to him and we confess to him. But God wants to answer your prayer. Let's think of a couple examples. If you have time to go there quickly, go 1 Samuel to me. We're not going to spend much time at all, but I do want to read a few verses here. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and it says here, starting in verse 9, it says, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on after the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint, and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Now I want you to jump to verse 27. It says here in verse 27, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. And we see that she prayed and God answered her prayer. We see now also in 1 Kings. I want you to go there real quick with me as well. 1 Kings in chapter 18. And it says here in verse 37, again, a story we know of here. Verse 37, it says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 18 as we make our way through the Bible here, just looking at a few of these illustrations of how we can have our prayers answered, and we need to thank God because we have our prayers answered more times than we thank the Lord, I'm afraid, as Christians, unfortunately. But it says here in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 31, it says, "And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, 'It is the king of Israel,' therefore they compassed him about to fight him, but Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him." He cried out. Look at Acts chapter 4, and we'll finish with this, but Acts chapter 4, verse 23. None of these are hard. None of these are things you probably haven't thought about before. But do we thank the Lord for them? Do we thank the Lord that we have these opportunities? Do we thank the Lord that we have an opportunity to come before Him like the Old Testament saints didn't have? They had to go through a high priest to then go into the Holy of Holies once a year. And we have an opportunity to come boldly to the throne of grace every single day, every single minute, every single time that you want to pray, you can. Verse 23, it says here, "And being let go, they went to their own company," talking about the early church, "and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, 'Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of Thy servant David hast said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, against Thy holy child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever Thy hand and Thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word, by stretching forth Thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of Thy holy child, Jesus.' And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." They prayed for boldness. God answered their prayer and gave them boldness. Do we thank the Lord when He answers our requests? There's times where I'll pray for something, God will answer it, and it's usually, in this case, it's usually something small, but I'll pray for something, God will answer it, and then I'll say, "Oh, you know what? I forgot to thank God that I had that answered prayer." I said, "Oh, great. I know my prayer's answered. I got what I was hoping, or He gave me the wisdom that I needed about something, and I forgot to say, 'God, thank you. God, thank you for answering this request. God, thank you for allowing this prayer to be answered. Thank you for speaking to me and showing me and helping me and guiding me with whatever this prayer was about.'" And we can forget to ask and thank the Lord. Need to move on hastily, but we see here first that we should give thanks because His mercy endureth forever. Secondly, we should give thanks because God answers prayer. Thirdly, we should give thanks for God's chastening. This is hard sometimes. But back in Psalm 118, we need to understand that we should give thanks for God's chastening. The Bible even tells us that it's not going to be pleasant. The Bible even tells us not to get weary or not to get hard up because of the chastening that we don't like. But verse 18, look at it with me in Psalm 118. It goes on to say here in verse 18, "The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death," and praise the Lord for that. He chastens us, but his chastening is not for death. His chastening is not for destruction. His chastening is not to destroy us, but is to profit us. We see, he says here in verse 18, "The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go in to them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refuse is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. We need to hasten, but I want you to see this. I think this is the last time I'm going to have you turn somewhere. Again, we probably have heard these verses. We probably know the concept of this, but we need to remind ourselves of what he's helping us to understand here, how we should give thanks because of God's chastening. Starting with verse 5, it says here in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." He goes through a lot of stuff here, so I want us to just walk through this real quickly. A letter A on your notes there: God's chastening is for our profit. Why should we thank the Lord for his chastening? Why should we thank the Lord for the hard times that he allows in our lives so that we can come back to him? Because it's for our profit. It's because he wants us to be partakers of his holiness. It's for our profit to get us back on track. It's for our profit to get us where he needs us and where he's guiding us and where he wants to lead us. It says here in verse 10 of chapter 12 of that passage we were just in, For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." Letter B, chastening, God's chastening is because we are his children. God's not going to chasten someone who's not his child. I'm not going to just walk up to somebody else's child and correct them or chasten them in this manner, because they're not my son, they're not my daughter. But if it's Silas or Joanna or Oliver, probably more Silas than the others, but I'm going to chasten them, I'm going to correct them, because they're my son. One, it's for profit, and two, it's because they're my children. Proverbs 3:11 says this: "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction." Letter C, God's chastening is a mark of the Father's love for us. It's a mark of the Father's love for us. He doesn't do it to destroy us, but he does it because he loves us. Proverbs 3, verse 12, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." I'll say this and then we'll move on. If a father doesn't correct, then he doesn't love like he should. If we correct because we love, because we're doing it in a spirit of wanting to see the best in them, and the Lord does it because he wants us to have the best life that a Christian should have, a life that is pleasing to him, a life that is honoring to him, then I believe if I don't correct, if I don't chasten in a loving spirit, then I'm not really a loving father like I should be. I'm doing it because I love them. I'm doing it because I want to see the best in them. God does it to us or allows it to us because he loves us, because he wants to see the best that we could be partakers of his holiness. But letter D, God's chastening is for our instruction, not for our destruction. God's chastening is for our instruction, not for our destruction. God is not trying to destroy you when he has chastening come in your life. Why would he chasten someone he loves or destroy someone he loves? Psalm 94, verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law." We see in Hebrews chapter 12 as well that he's not doing it to destroy us, but he's doing it to instruct us. He's doing it to correct us. He's doing it to help us to be where we need to be. We need to thank the Lord and give thanks unto the Lord. We need to celebrate God's goodness in our life, because his mercy endureth forever. We need to celebrate God and thank him, not just because his mercy endureth forever, but because he answers our prayer. We need to give thanks unto God and celebrate the Lord and shout really our thanksgiving unto the Lord, because he chastens us, because he loves us. And lastly, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but the point number four, give thanks for every day. He says here in one verse, let's look at verse 24 in Psalm 118. And I'm sorry, I think I said I wouldn't have you turn anywhere else, but I'm having you turn back there. Psalm 118, verse 24. We can give thanks for every single day, but we see here in verse 24, "This is the day that the Lord, which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." We need to thank God for the day that he has given us. It's a day that God has created. It's a day that the Lord has given to us to be what we need to be as a Christian, to let others know about him. Give thanks for every single day. Let's not take every day that we have lightly. Let's not take it for granted. It's sometimes easy to take days and to say, well, this day is not maybe as important in the grand scheme of my life, and so we're just going to kind of waste it away. No, I'm not saying that you can't have fun. That's not my point of this at all. Sometimes enjoying your children and having fun and doing your things with your grandchildren, that is pleasing to the Lord. We need to encourage our families. We need to encourage each other. But I will say, don't just frivolously waste it and take it for granted, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. Now, I want to take just a second. I was hoping to get to this a little bit sooner. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. But on the back of your paper, if you got one, I have a couple things I want you to think about. Number one, something to thank him for in your life. What about God's mercy in your life? Maybe God brought something to your mind when we talked about that point, and he said, you should be thankful for my mercy in your life because of this, or when this happened. Every single one of us, no doubt if we thought about it, I'm not going to take a lot of time because of the hour, but I want us to think, God's mercy is in our life every single day. Whether we see it in bigger ways or smaller ways, it is in our life, because we all need his mercy, because we are all sinners. Where has God shown his mercy in your life that you should thank him for it? Where has God answered a prayer in your life recently, let's say the past 6 months, that maybe we didn't thank him for? That maybe we did, but it wasn't really as heartfelt as it could have been? Has there been a prayer request that God answered and you didn't thank him at all? I don't know. Do we think to thank God for our prayers? I want you to write these down if you think about them. That's my point of this. But what about God's chastening in your life? Has God chastened you sometime and you weren't really thankful that he did? Because you didn't really maybe understand the whole concept of it, or you just didn't like it, and so you didn't want to thank him for it. Is there a time in your life recently that God has chastened you and you didn't thank him for it? He did it because he loves you. He did it because he cares for you. We should thank God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. We should give thanks because God answers prayer. We should give thanks because of God's chastening. And we should give thanks for every single day that God allows us to have. We're going to have a time of invitation here in just a minute. And if God brought something to your mind or you wrote something on your paper, I want to encourage you to come to the altar and to thank God. To come to the altar and say, God, I didn't thank you before, but I'm going to thank you now. Because I need to laud or celebrate the things that you do in my life with thanksgiving. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do this week in our lives. Lord, as we think about the many things we could be thankful for, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. I pray that you would help us to not just think of maybe the surface things that we could be thankful for, but even the maybe deeper things. Lord, we could all say, and we should be thankful for it, but most of us in here, if not all of us, could probably say we're thankful for our salvation. We should be. But what about that prayer that we prayed that maybe nobody knows about, that you answered in a great and mighty way? Are we thankful for that? Are we thankful for how you withheld maybe judgment in our life, even when we deserved it, because of something that we did that we shouldn't have? Father, I pray you'd help us as we go into our thanksgiving mode, that we would come to it with thanksgiving. With all heads bowed, eyes